Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experiment.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. Yes, thank you. That's right, Global Happiness Specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. Thank you. Welcome to the show. Welcome to my new listeners, finding listeners all over the globe. I really appreciate how people are finding me. They're finding me organically. Thank you. Spread the word. Share the show. Woo! What do we do on Reality Spirituality? Who is she? What kind of Rebecca Norrington, happiness specialist? What? Well, let me just for a few minutes give a very brief introduction to the new listeners who have never heard the show before. And for you people that have been listening to the show for a few years, you might be able to get up and fix yourself some tea for a minute or two. Reality Spirituality, when I say happiness specialist, what does that mean? That means that in every waking moment, I am making conscious decisions between choosing peace, choosing drama, choosing happiness, choosing another emotion. When they say happiness is a choice, that's partially true, because that is partially true, but the roadblock is the programming. My second book, the Program for Unhappiness, hopefully is going to be coming out sometime this year, but Program for Unhappiness is talking about the programming that we've all received, and it is the programming that keeps us stuck. It's the programming that causes the suffering. And when I talk about programming, I'm talking about what did you learn, you know, what have you learned? What have you learned? What are some of your deep, deep, deep beliefs? Deep beliefs about life, about people, about happiness, about this journey. What are some of the beliefs, the core beliefs? And so on this show, Reality Spirituality, what I share is really dissecting those beliefs to find out, number one, are they true? Are they true? And when I love this topic especially. Happy Valentine's Day to all my Valentine's celebratory people. Happy Valentine's Day. And this Valentine's Day is a holiday of love and being in love, and I love you, and this is my Valentine. And it's also about a programming, and a programming with a lot of, oh, don't hate me, with a lot of obligation, with a lot of obligation, meaning that, yes, on this particular day, the program people are obligated to profess their love to their loved ones, to buy cards, to buy gifts, to go the extra mile. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that, what I just said, nothing wrong with it, but I want you to understand that these holidays, from the Valentine's Day to Christmas to the 4th of July, that vibration, that feeling of celebrating can happen on any single day. We don't have to wait until a certain day to show our appreciation, to express our love, express the love. We don't have to wait until a special day. And that's really what I'm saying here. Why wait to celebrate your loved one and the relationship that you have? Now, before I go on with that topic, because the topic is levels of love, and what does saying I love you really mean? It's almost like have a nice day. I love you. And so today I want to dissect, especially since it's Valentine's Day, and Valentine's Day is the day that is the day of the show. I want to share with you what does that really mean, I love you? What is that, number one, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you when someone says they love you? Or when you say to someone, I love you, what are the expectations that are attached to that, those three small words, I love you? And that's what the topic is today, the meaning, the real meaning of I love you. What is that? And the other question I want to ask my audience, as many as would like to answer, is how do you express, show your love? And my other question, and this is even a deeper question and maybe a little bit digging into the truth, what about this person that you profess your love to, what if they do something or act in a certain way that doesn't agree with, or that you don't agree with? And that could be from, oh, geez, Louise, that could be from having a difference of an opinion to, okay, let me ask this question. You know, it's easy to say I love you when the stars are shining and the sun is out and it's a beautiful day. The real question is, when you say I love you, I mean, not when you say I love you, how do you share, you know, I'm just fumbling here because I'm trying to make three points at the same time, and it always trips me up. Let me stay on one topic at a time. That's going to be very helpful. So my question is to you, does your love or your love for someone else stay the same, especially when you're challenged? See, there is a really thin line between loving someone and hating someone. And I contend that when you love, you either love the universal way or you love the way that we've been taught, the programmed way, the man-made way. And when I say what are the levels of love, and when I'm talking about the levels of love, there are distinct types of, and I mean, I'm using that word with air quotes, because the only real love is to love universally, which means I love you regardless of what you do, and I love you regardless of what you don't do. I know that's a hard one. I know we don't want to hear about it. I know, no, I'll love you when everything, the stars are all lined up. But you get out of line and you find somebody else that you want to hang out with or you want to spend time with, then my love for you is out of here. I'm done. No, I love you, but you can only love me. That kind of love. That's what I'm talking about. It's conditional love. It's I love you, but you have to A, B, C, D. You have to follow these rules. You have to follow the guidelines that I put in place, or else I'm not going to love you. That's a conditional type of love. That's a conditional type of love with strings attached. Now, before I get into a little bit more of that, let me just share. You know, I didn't even do my proper intro about this radio show, which is about how to experience more happiness on the journey. And when I say I'm a happiness specialist, what I share is how to experience more happiness, the definition of happiness. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. Just the ability to be at peace, foundationally rooted in peace, rooted in contentment, rooted in this vibration of satisfaction, rooted in feeling balanced in all moments. The other thing that we share on the show is how to be happy regardless of what happens to you. Because it's not about what someone else does or what someone else says. Your happiness does not depend on anything or anybody else that's outside of self, that's outside of you. Any other person has nothing to do with your happiness. And when I say that, I'm meaning that if you are truly happy, if you are really rooted in happiness, there is not a person or an experience that is going to change that. When you're rooted in happiness, you practice the following. You practice surrendering to all moments. You practice acceptance of yourself and of others. You practice living consciously. You practice being okay with uncertainty, trusting, letting go of the illusion of control. You practice choosing your perspective, choosing more than one perspective. You practice having patience at all times, self-awareness. You also practice not taking anything that happens to you personally. I don't care if it's from a person. I don't care if it's just something that happened to you. When I say happened to you, I mean it doesn't matter what event. Your happiness doesn't depend on anything other than anything outside of yourself. Absolutely nothing. It doesn't matter my point is your happiness doesn't depend on anything. It is a practice. Happiness is a practice skill. And the practice comes from, like anything else, the practice comes from being aware and making the commitment to wanting to be happier. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it's like anything else. The more you commit to the practice, and it is daily, it is moment by moment, the better the results. And so the question that I always ask either the audience or people that I come in contact with one-on-one is, are you prepared, are you ready to make happiness a number one commitment? And when I say happiness, I'm talking about an internal peace, an internal place of contentment. I've said it, if I've said it once, I've said it hundreds of times, and it bears repeating because it's funny. I've been doing this show for online? Yes, I did. I've been doing the show for 10 years now. That's right. I said 10 years. And what I found is, yeah, everybody wants to get in line to get a happiness shot in the arm, but the truth is it requires commitment. It requires prioritizing. It requires being aware, staying aware all the time in a conscious state without exception. this isn't easy. You'll never get bored. But the when I say the practice, it really comes down to, do you think happiness is important? And when I ask you that, how important is it? How important is your happiness in your life? I mean, where would you rank it? Is it number one? Is it number five? Is it number 10? When you really want to, when you really get to a point where the things, the accomplishments, the goals, the achievements aren't satisfying you anymore, and there's something else that you're looking for, there's something else that you're seeking, there's something else that you want to feel, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to say that it's the topic that I'm speaking of on this show and what I've always spoke of on this show. When I say happiness, I'm talking about a internal peace that is rooted in foundational beliefs, foundational behaviors of trust, surrender, acceptance, letting go, and a vibration of satisfaction. I'm talking about feeling like that all the time. Let's get back to our levels of love, which is today's topic. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it is about what you practice. It is about what you practice on a daily basis. When I talk about the levels of love, you know, you've all heard it. I'm sure you've heard it. I'm sure you've said it. I love you, and then you've heard, I love you. You've heard the words, I love you, and you've expressed the words, I love you. And so my challenge for you, my dear listeners, is this. Levels of love. So there's different levels, and let me explain. I already discussed the universal love, and that means that the universe loves, accepts, embraces you regardless of what you do, regardless of what you don't do. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. I've said it more than once. I will keep saying it, but that universal love is the same kind of love where it doesn't matter what you do and what you don't do. You are going to be embraced, loved universally. That's universal love. Then there is a contract, what I call a contract love, which falls under the category of marriage. You know, marriage is a contract between two people. Well, right now it's a contract between two people. Who knows what it's going to be 50 years from now? But right now, marriage is a contract between two people. And with that contract, there are certain, like any contract, there are certain rules, there are certain guidelines, there are certain bylaws, there are certain behaviors that the individuals have promised, agreed to, adhere to. So the contract love, the marriage, the contract, it is a contract, meaning I enter this contract with you, and together we are married, and together we usually, it's you and me for forever. We're going to ride into the sunset. Usually that is the intention of the marriage, is to be with one person. You find a person, you fall madly in love with them, you want to spend your rest of your life with them, and then you marry them. That is a contract, and it's also a, especially here in the United States, it is a program path, and which is, I don't want to say modified, changed, updated, you know, and people, individuals have their modifications and their changes, and they make their own. They can alter or update or amend the contract any way the two people want. So it's the traditional marriage contract, and then there is another contract, a marriage contract that two people have rules have agreed on rules that are different than the traditional marriage. That's what I want to say. Hopefully that was clear. And then there is the compromise. a level of love which I call the compromise, which means if you do this, then I'll do that. And sometimes that compromise falls into the marriage, the contracted love also. And all that says is, if you do this, I'll do that. If you're going to do this for me, I'll do that for you. It's like a barter system. If you do this for me, I'll do that for you. If you are monogamous with me, I'm going to be monogamous with you. You know, those kind of conversations, those kind of implied behaviors. So we have the level of love that's a compromise, a barter, contract love, and a universal love. Now, the trick is to find somebody that loves like you love. See, the contract love, if you do this for me, then I'll do that for you, or the compromising love or the barter love, is a love that, in my opinion, is founded on shaky ground, because all it takes is one person to look at the other one and find fault with either what they're doing, what they're saying. Well, you're my boyfriend, and that means you have to A, B, C, or D. I was listening to the radio, one of these radio bits where it's really a prank phone call. And so this couple, this young couple, they were engaged to be married, or maybe they were just boyfriend and girlfriend. I know I digress with this story, but maybe they were just boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't really remember whether they were boyfriend and girlfriend or were they engaged. But the guy in the relationship was a man and a woman, and the guy in the relationship wanted to go, here we go, now we all can relate to this one, wanted to go to a bachelor party. His best friend was getting married, and they, you know, group of guys, and where do they want to go? They want to go to Las Vegas, right? They want to go to Las Vegas. They want to have a bachelor party. Whatever they do in a bachelor party. So the guy calls the radio show and he says, I don't know how to tell my girlfriend that I want to go to this bachelor party in Las Vegas to celebrate my best friend's upcoming wedding. He didn't know how to tell her. He didn't know how to tell her. Why? Because the level of love that he was involved with was a compromise and a barter. It was a compromise and a barter type of relationship. So it all played out on the radio, and the radio host asked the girlfriend for her boyfriend, hey, you know, your boyfriend wants to go on this bachelor party. Can he go? That's right. He needed to ask permission to go on a bachelor party. Now, I know there's plenty of relationships where asking permission is normal. Asking permission is part of the relationship. It's sewn in, it's built in. And I'm here to tell you that at this stage in my life, if I'm not asking permission from anybody to do anything. The barter and the compromise and the contract, I just don't do it. I don't expect you to change for me. I don't expect you to do anything for me. I mean, in other words, it's having someone else tell me or be in charge of what I want to do. That's really the point right there. And so the girlfriend, when she gets the news that her boyfriend wants to go on this bachelor party, and the boyfriend is on the other line listening, and so he comes on and he says, you know, he's my best friend. And she says, well, what about me on Fridays? We usually watch movies, and you rub my feet, and we have dinner, Friday dinner. What about me? And what? And it was, this is what she was really saying. What about me? And which with an underlining, that means you, if you don't want to spend time with me and you want to spend time with your buddies, that means you don't love me. You see all of the tricks, all of the loopholes, all of the conditions, all of the strings. If you don't do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that means, in my head, that you don't love me. The things that you think are important, and I'm talking to you, my dear audience, the things that you think are important aren't necessarily important to anybody else, not even the people that say that they love you. Just because someone loves you doesn't mean that what you think is important is important. Just because someone says that they love you doesn't mean that what you believe is important to them. Can you let them off the hook? Can you love someone without, in other words, can you love someone without wanting them or asking them or obligating them to do anything for you? Do anything meaning, I'm walking a tightrope here, and I realize that because of the community and the society of this, how love is portrayed and how love looks and how love looks like a compromise. And when you're in love, that means you automatically are required to compromise. When you find someone and you say that you love them, that means that you are obligated. Now your life shifts. And I contend that the love that I feel for anyone is in addition to the love that I'm expressing already. So when I say in addition, is I don't want to change anyone else. I don't want anybody else to do anything different just because of me. The love that I will feel or can feel from someone else has nothing to do with what they tell me, nothing to do with their words. It's something to do with their actions and their behaviors. And it has nothing to do with buying me flowers or sending me a card or giving me gifts on Valentine's Day. That does not prove that you love me. The gifts are nice. I like a gift. However, a gift does not mean that there's love that goes along with the gift. A real gift given requires no thank you. A real gift given requires absolutely nothing from the person that is receiving the gift. A real gift is given freely without any obligation or any expectation wanting something else other than I'm giving this person a gift. And that could be something tangible or something intangible, like giving your time or giving your attention. Or how about this? You want to give someone a gift. You say you have someone that you love. How about this gift? I can't believe I'm bringing this gift up at the end of the show. How about this gift? The gift of totally accepting someone else. The gift of accepting someone else exactly the way that they are, accepting them, accepting what they do, accepting what they say, how they behave. Real acceptance, true acceptance, universal acceptance is one of the greatest gifts you can give to someone else, and acceptance without judgment. So there's levels of love. I accept you, but I want you to change. That's under the barter, compromise, and contract love. And I'm here advocating universal love. I'm here advocating acceptance of anyone that you love, wanting them to be exactly who they are, not trying to change them, not criticizing them or their behavior. Now, of course, this is different if there is intentional mean behavior. I'm not talking about someone who is intentionally mean or intentionally abusive. That's not the topic. What I'm talking about is the average. I love the average. I'm in love with you. You're in love with me. Not the any type of abusive relationship. That's going to be a totally different show. One of the things that when I say universal love and I can say somebody that tells me that they love me, I can feel whether or not that vibration or that statement has any roots in universal love. I can feel if it's a love that, if it's just as a requirement, if it's just a how, have a nice day. Have a nice day. I had a few people text me within the last few days, and even this morning, a lot of I love yous. And I'm not saying I'm not accepting the I love yous, but there is also action that comes with loving. Loving someone requires action. And when I say requires action, I'm not just talking about a physical action. I'm talking about a vibrational action, See, the acceptance of other people and your vibration is also on acceptance. When you accept and you love universally, there is a vibration that is emitted. And it doesn't have anything to do with, I'm trying to come up with a really good example that's going to, how about this? This is pretty simple. So your loved one loves clam chowder, and there is a specific restaurant that makes the best clam chowder. Or how about this? There's a restaurant in Maine, and you're in California, that makes the best clam chowder, but then they ship their clam chowder all over the country. And you know that your loved one loves clam chowder, and so you order their favorite clam chowder from across the country. In other words, you are really invested. You spend a lot of time. You spend a lot of effort orchestrating it, and then on Valentine's Day, they get their favorite clam chowder. That kind of thing, that kind of example. Now, does that kind of example show or prove love? Show or prove thoughtfulness? Well, when there is nothing wanted in return, when there is nothing expected in return, real gifts are given freely without wanting anything back. And that is the point of this levels of love. The contracted love wants, expects something back. The compromise love, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. You're going to do for me if I do for you. The barter kind of compromise love wants something back. How can you tell, how can you feel the different types of vibration? Well, the different types of vibration is whether you are giving something freely or are you giving a gift with strings attached. And it's a very tricky state, because that giving a gift and not wanting anything back, including a thank you. Oh, they didn't even thank me. I didn't even get thanked. Oh, how ungrateful. They didn't even thank me. See, so that means that the gift wasn't given without wanting something back. Real gifts, true gifts, gifts of love are given without any expectation of anything returned back. Levels of love. Levels of love. When I say different levels, barter, compromise, contract love, and universal love, all I want to share is call your love what it is. Call it what it is. Be honest with yourself. Not necessarily have to be honest with someone else, but be honest with yourself in what kind of relationship you are in. That's it. There's nothing wrong with the barter. There's nothing wrong with the compromise. There's nothing wrong with the contract. I'm not saying that there's anything off with it or wrong with it, but be honest and call your relationship what it is. Is that I know that if I... See, you know the other thing, the sneaking and the hiding. Well, let me just throw this in, sneaking and hiding. You know that you're in a relationship that you can't share, that you had a conversation with someone else, or if you have to hide something. If you have to hide something, if you have to not share something for fear of the other person getting angry or they're not going to approve or any of that kind of stuff, then all I'm saying is just be honest with what level of love you are in. Hopefully that makes a lot of sense. I have a couple people that were in the queue, and any questions, just press the number 1. And you can ask me a question right away. I'll wait and see if anybody wants to ask a question. You know what's interesting about this show? I get people calling in and wanting to ask questions, and then sometimes people just email me questions. Okay, going once, going twice. I have 8 people in the queue. No one wants to ask a question? No? Okay. Well, Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a couple of videos on YouTube. And my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon.com. And my second book, the one I'm writing now, Program for Unhappiness, is going to be out sometime this year. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. It is about the journey. So when you make a commitment to prioritize happiness and wanting to experience more happiness, guess what? Regardless of what happens, because life is a roller coaster, but regardless of what happens, you will be able to ride the ride of life rooted in peace, rooted in trust, rooted in knowing that anything and everything that happens is there to serve you, regardless of whether you can see it in the moment, regardless of whether you can feel it in the moment. Everything that happens to you, there is a purpose, there is a reason, and it is there for your expansion, for your growth, for your more awareness, for your consciousness. And with all of that, you've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, Global Happiness Specialist Rebecca L. Norrington. Have a conscious week, and remember, happiness is a practice skill. And your experience in every moment depends on what you practice. Have a great conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Get
real good.
Get real good.
Yeah.